Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Quiet in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and live into it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 138. It's on page 577 in your pew Bible. Psalm 138, Thanksgiving and Praise of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
My life was on in error. Beautiful. I love that tune, that piece. And what a perfect lyrical piece to connect with our text from the gospel this morning. I want to read back through a couple of the lyrics that you've just heard. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? So we hear this passage from the Gospel of Luke, the calling of the disciples at the shoreline. I'm struck by the response of dropping their nets, walking away, following Jesus, because something has occurred in this moment to them that they cannot stop singing about. They cannot stop. They have to turn and follow. How can we not keep from singing? How can we not be compelled to follow the one who overwhelms our nets, the one who provides abundantly, the one who brings grace and truth? Thank you, choir. Let's hear our gospel reading. From Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, which, so you know, Luke calls the Sea of Galilee the Lake of Gennesaret. It's the same place, just so we make sure. Sometimes those place names, we throw them out there and we don't think about them very much. But the Sea of Gennesaret. And the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered. And I want to say, Simon answered wearily. Simon answered begrudgingly. Simon answered with a big, deep sigh, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." You hear that? Yeah. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. I have a question for you, and then I'll pray. Are you happy with your life? Let us pray. God, we ask that you would show us your way and your purpose for our lives. Lord, overwhelm us with your abundant love as we see our nets filled and realize that you've called us to something so much greater. Lord, bring joy to us as we follow after your purpose. In all of this, Lord, we trust that the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Amen. Truly, are we happy with our lives? Do we have a sense of purpose and direction? I wonder, what does it mean for us to show up and live fully into our calling? And how would we know that we are doing this? Lastly, has anyone caught any fish lately? And how did you do it? I want to give a little context to our passage this morning, and I want to remind us of where we were last week. This story comes nearly after the encounter with Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth, where he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, which we've been speaking about the last couple of weeks. But there are interludes between that text and the text that we have today. First, as we heard at the end of last week's reading, Jesus slips away from the angry mob who've been offended by Jesus' warning that they, the insiders, are not going to understand his message in the same way that the outsiders are. God calls Jesus then to move to Capernaum, to go on in his journey. And it's important to note in the sequence of events that Capernaum is mentioned in the previous section as in something that Jesus has already done, but actually in the narrative, he has not gone to Capernaum yet. He is on his way there. Remember, it says, "Do hear also in your hometown the things that you have heard done in Capernaum." Luke's narrative actually says that Jesus' visit is next when he goes to Capernaum in his ministry. And we don't want to get distracted by these changes in the text or these ways that we can read it, but I want to highlight this because the other gospel writers tell it in a different order. Mark, in the earliest written gospel, tells of this or a similar healing in the opening chapter of his book. Luke and Matthew, which rely on a common source, tell the story a little later. One commentator notes that while Mark's gospel envisions Jesus heralding a coming kingdom, Luke's story has a different take, highlighting the growth of Jesus' ministry at this point, the expanding fame of his actions in the Judean countryside. Second, in our text today, we hear that Jesus hops right into a boat alongside the shore and asks the captain to push into the water. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a town where there are many boats in a harbor moored for fishermen and such. And you don't just go to a random dock and unlock the boat and start telling the captain to take you. Try that down in Bellingham Bay. No, you don't. But the order is important here. Jesus has already been to Simon's house. It says that in the previous section, just verses before. And he's healed many people there. So Simon knows him, including Simon's mother-in-law, has been healed by Jesus. So now, taking the boat makes more sense. The crowds have grown. Jesus' ministry is becoming more established, and he's gathering supportive helpers to strengthen that work. And so we get to the story then. Simon and his partners are out cleaning their nets. They've clearly finished with their fishing for the day. And Jesus sits down at the shoreline and starts to teach. Luke doesn't tell us about what is taught. We can only guess that Jesus' message in this moment includes echoes of his previous teaching, setting captives free, proclaiming the year of Jubilee, warning the insiders and welcoming the outsiders. And his message has clearly been compelling. As was said moments ago, these folks are wondering how could they keep from singing out this message that they have heard. And so they sit there and they listen. And he finishes speaking. And the morning water calmly laps up against the shore. And he turns to Simon and he says, "Let's go. Put out into the deep. Go out to discover. Let's take a leap together." Remember the question I asked a moment ago as we began. Are we happy with our lives? Do we have a sense of purpose? What does it mean for us to show up into our calling and live it out fully? Now, I know that not many of us are out on our boat these days fishing for our dinner or for a living. And maybe because of this, you're like me, and so you hear a version of this story told once more, and you kind of sit there and you wonder, so what? What does this analogy really mean to me? I'm not a fisherman. Maybe you've tried being a person who reaches out and fishes for others. Maybe you've cast your nets. Maybe you're like Simon, and you're simply tired and don't want to try another time. At least right now. Well, I feel that often. And like you, I feel like sometimes I'm repeating the same routine over and over again, and I start to wonder if anything can change. Will anything come of our work? So I would completely understand Simon's skepticism in this moment. Verse 5, we hear Simon's response to Jesus' instruction. Again, he says, "Master, we've worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." I love that word, yet. All right, if you say so. How often in our comfort and our certainty do we feel this skepticism? "I don't believe you, Lord, but if you say so." Simon's first word to Jesus is "Master." And it tells us something about this reluctance or skepticism. Many times through the Gospels, Jesus' followers refer to him as teacher or rabbi. There's a deference to his position as a spiritual leader. But Simon uses the word "master" to respond to Jesus. Even though Simon has been witness to Jesus' healing powers with his mother-in-law just moments ago, Simon remains skeptical. Master. The word is epistata, and it means overseer or commander, captain perhaps. It has a ring of formality to it, lacking the intimacy of a word like rabbi or teacher. And as I read it, I hear Simon's reluctance, but then a resignation to obey the order of authority here. Not spiritual authority, but at least an authority given to Jesus because he clearly has garnered some support and interest. The story continues on. The fish overwhelm the nets. More partners are summoned to gather the catch. Jesus' miracles overwhelm our expectations. And in my opinion, here is the moment where the turn happens in the text. We have Simon's response. And in this case, for the first time, Luke calls him Simon Peter. A change is occurring in this person. Simon Peter falls to the ground before Jesus and says, "Go away from me, Lord." Lord, Kyrios, no longer master or commander. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Jesus uses the miracle to show the fisherman that he has authority, not only over healing or words or teaching, but authority over the fish of the sea and the movements of the natural world. Jesus' miracles are much greater than we could have imagined. I feel like Simon Peter. I wonder if you do. Jesus invites me, as I sit in the place of Simon Peter, to cast out my nets, to share what good news I have, even as I feel skepticism or reluctance. How could it possibly work, God? How could you move? We feel like Simon Peter in concern about whether or not we are good enough. We see the real way Jesus changes the trajectory of our lives, but we wonder if we're good enough to receive it. Let's hear this plainly. Jesus is overwhelming these fishermen with a catch that should not happen, but does. And Simon's response is to drop to his knees. Simon Peter is overwhelmed by the example of providing love and miraculous grace that Jesus shows here. Simon knows he is a broken man. But what Jesus shows him in this moment is that he can be engaged and called and captivated into a new way of being, a glorious new life that is far beyond his sin, far beyond his inadequacies, far beyond any imagination he has for what he's capable of. Jesus responds to him as he does again and again to us and says this, "Do not be afraid." And he goes on, And he calls Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, to come and follow him. No longer will they devote themselves to this grind of fishing and hauling and cleaning and selling and fishing and hauling. No. No, it is now time to be overwhelmed with the gathering of people into this movement, the expansion of the good news of God's kingdom. This is what these fishermen are called to now. Go, share, build this with me, he says. Follow. Friends, we are called. We each are called by God to fish and expand the nets of this beautiful kingdom we are a part of. We are called to throw our nets out wildly, sharing the love and grace we have known, and say, come, see, taste, and know that God is good. This morning as I close, I want to draw us into prayer. And I want to invite us to go back to our psalm that we've heard read this morning, Psalm 138, as it is a reminder of our calling and a reminder that God is in the work of leading us into the world to do good and love our neighbors. How would we respond to our calling? Well, perhaps this psalm can give us some words for that. I'd invite you to take your Pew Bible out and open to page 577 in the Old Testament section for Psalm 138. How do we respond when we're called? How do we respond when we're shown the goodness of God and offered an invitation? Well, I want us to hear this psalm as a blessing of that work, an affirmation of our calling of God. I want to invite us to pray this together. Let it be a psalm of saying yes to God's calling, God's call to share the good news, to gather together in Christ's name. Let us pray together these words as you see printed, beginning together with verse 1. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Amen. Friends, we are the work of God's hands, and we are called to carry out the work of God's hands. May we go to gather the abundance of this harvest of God's kingdom. Let us pray. God, thank you for this wonderful, glorious calling to gather your people, to invite in and come close with one another, to share in your love, a love which extends far beyond what we could ever imagine or hope for. This glorious love which makes things new and restores all creation. So Lord, guide us in this love today. In your name we pray. Amen.